We'll argue about it. We'll bring Sean Salisbury in. Sean, have you ever enjoyed the circus with your children? Are you a circus guy?
You know what? Yeah, but I probably saw it more growing up. Maybe one time with my kids when they were growing up. They liked it, but it wasn't one of those things that they, you know. I think we went one time to the Ringling Brothers Circus. I did a couple times growing up, but they may have once. If we were going to, we'd rather go to like the zoo or something than the circus. But yeah, everybody has to go at least once. And I know what, are they shutting down after like 144 years or something?
Yeah, they're shutting it down. No more Ringling. I think they're done in May. That's it. No more. We'll have to tell our grandkids about the legend of the circus.
Yeah, we also have to tell our grandkids that we used to dial with a rotary phone. So, hey, crap happened.
Hey, you were busy over the weekend. Follow Sean like I do at Sean Unfiltered, America's best radio guest. Oh, by the way, I should mention this. We never promo you correctly because you're nice enough to come on with us every week, and you deserve better promotion, damn it, Sean. Did I read correctly that you have some new talent sitting next to you in Houston on SB Nation Radio? I read this.
Starting Super Bowl, you know, my former partner who I did TV with also at ESPN. He is going back home to Seattle, and he's already there doing morning drive television. He does the news for the morning at King 5 in Seattle. So we went through audition after audition, and what it's going to be, I'm no cat out of the bag now, but it's going to be a Dan Patrick-type setting. So they're changing the name to the Sean Salisbury Show, and we'll break that out at the Super Bowl, and Robin Carlin from Denver will be one of my sidekicks, and a kid named Brian Barrett, who's a young talent, Syracuse graduate, has been in our network for about 3 years, and he is brilliant on the air, and he's fun, and he'll be another, you know, we call it basically it's Sean Salisbury Show and the Bench Warmers, kind of like the Danettes, but the Bench Warmers, and then my producer is awesome, and his name's Adam Sager, so it'll be us four, you know, it's very similar, we'll have a little man cave setting, they're building studios, but the great thing is, I don't know if you've heard of BNTV, which is the fastest growing media outlet they in the world right now. They're international. They cover Conference USA, but they're getting into doing more PTI stuff. They're based out of Miami, but they're going to carry. We're the only radio show now. They're going to carry worldwide, and that'll start in February. So it'll be a national TV show, a radio show on TV. So they will be my new partners with new graphics and logos and the ability not only on to talk it, but also to telestrate stuff on the radio and do those kind of things. So
congrats.
I'm looking forward to it should be fun. So I'll still do my ESPN morning show, but this is a chance to do national television with our radio show and a couple new partners. And it'll be edgy and fun, but informative, and we won't take ourselves too seriously. We're pretty pumped up.
Not as high tech as calling up on Skype every day at 10 a.m., but you're getting close, Sean.
That's right. Well, and now people that can't, that don't get a chance to hear us, and it'll re-air on BN throughout the day, so people will get to see it and stuff. But, yes, I'm blessed to have some good talent around me and a good production crew and be affiliated with something new. It'll be pretty awesome.
Sean, there were some great football games, much different than the wild card round, really, and I think we all were anticipating a great weekend of football, and it did not disappoint. We talked about it earlier, but I want to know what your take is on it. Who do you think had the best individual performance of the weekend?
Oh, man, best individual The guy in Green Bay is pretty good. Le'Veon Bell was spectacular as well. And, that kind of, in breaking down, we'll start with that one, the Pittsburgh-Green Bay game. Two things had to happen in that game. One is that, in the Pittsburgh-Kansas City game, should I say, is that if Bell gashed him, you can't beat him. Their front seven's really good. They just can't defend the run. And he did gash him. And they didn't let Kelce take over the game on the defensive side. It was a little bit boring offensively as far as touchdowns go, but Bell had a damn good performance, but I don't know how in the other game, the Green Bay-Dallas game, there was some really good performances throughout the weekend. I mean, Matt Ryan's playing great football, but the Rodgers, I tweeted about this December 26th. I said the Cowboys want no part of Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs, not because Dallas isn't good, but because when that dude's on fire, look out. And his confidence is through the roof. He didn't even play his best game last night, and he still took care of his business. But he makes throws that a normal human being can't fathom, that a good quarterback wouldn't attempt, and that only a few can make, and he's one of the very few, and he's spectacular. And when you get a hot Aaron Rodgers, he's a tough guy to beat. So I would probably say him, because you just can't make some of the throws that he makes, even as a good quarterback.
Sean, you mentioned Matt Ryan, and you know, save for the Seahawks scoring on the opening possession, that game was never really in question. But, of course, Seahawks being without Earl Thomas, did the Falcons do enough for you in that game to kind of erase their memories of playoff chokerdom, or do they still have to prove it to you?
Oh, I still think they got to prove it, but to get that one taken care of against a former Super Bowl champion means a lot. I thought that was one of the more important games in Matt Ryan's career because we've seen the movie before. But Matt Ryan's real. He's put so much time in the offseason. And they probably, of all the, you know, we got the big three in Pittsburgh, but you're talking about all the weapons, backs out of the backfield, in the tight end, wide receiver, in the passing game. They create the most mismatches with their, and especially now that Jordy's out with Green Bay, the most mismatches are created with their personnel because their backs can, and you saw it happen on a little angle route out of the backfield. Their backs create mismatches in the passing game. As far as the race, now they still got to go take care of their business at home against Green Bay. This is a different team, though. This is a different Atlanta team. And I always love, and you mentioned it, we all do, that, oh, without Earl Thomas. But you know what? I was listening and watching the broadcast. If a guy throws a hitch route, then the broadcast, you know, I think it was Phil Simms. I can't remember who was doing the game. But, oh, they threw a hitch route. Man, if Earl Thomas was there. No, Earl Thomas plays free safety. He doesn't play corner. And that's not the safety. But Earl Thomas doesn't cover all 11 guys. Atlanta would have beat them with Earl Thomas. I mean, he's a great player, but he's a free safety who, yes, on some of the runs after the catch, but we all get caught up into the, oh, my gosh, we talk about, you know, Earl Thomas and think that every single play that's made, that Earl Thomas, oh, he wasn't involved in that one, so he wasn't on the field, so gosh dang, they couldn't have made too big a play or they would have stopped him. So the Atlanta Falcons beat Seattle, and you're right, it wasn't in question. They can't protect the passer. What do you drop back 30 times and hit the hurried Russell Wilson 19, and they don't run the football. They just don't. They did against Detroit, but that's Detroit. So, yeah, I expected Atlanta to win the game, and it picked them. But the playoff moxie of Atlanta, I mean, of Seattle scares you. But I thought they did one hell of a job of taking care of their business in a football game, and they are real. This is going to be one hell of an offensive showing coming up with Atlanta and Green Bay.
Sean Salisbury joining us on KHDK. Sean, you coach quarterbacks. I firmly believe you'll be in the NFL someday coaching quarterbacks and then some, so you're eminently qualified.
Thank you,
well, it's true. You're very qualified to answer the following debate we were having last hour. You look at everything Tom Brady's done. I think he's the best to ever do it. But now you're looking at Aaron Rodgers, what he did yesterday, and what he's done since the middle of the year and throughout his career. Sean, you're starting a franchise. You have a choice to draft one of those two guys, knowing the types of quarterbacks they're going to be for their career. Do you take Tom Brady or do you take Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I still would take here's my take. I'm a big believer that Tom Brady is the best we've ever had. And I'm quite frankly, no disrespect to Joe Montana, I don't think it's close anymore, Dave.
Agreed.
I just don't. I mean, he's done more with less than anybody on the planet. So I don't think it's close. Thank you. Sorry, I was going through a toll road. I don't think it's close. But if I was choosing a quarterback now, I think the best, because he has no weakness, is Aaron Rodgers. Mm. Now, the only weakness Brady has, even though at 39, guys, he's moving better now than he did at 29 because he works ad nauseum on his mechanics and his feet. But if you had to choose, there's no weakness in Rodgers' game. He can carry a team when you've got injuries. He can get you on a win streak. He protects the football. He's got a great arm. Quickest release on the planet, powerful arm, great feet, can beat you running the football. There's no weakness. So you're talking about who the best all-around player in the game is at that position. It's him, meaning Aaron Rodgers. But the best of all time is Tom Brady. So if I was starting a franchise knowing what I was going to get out of their careers, I'd still go with Brady because there's one thing. He's been to six. He's won four. And quite frankly, more than likely, he's going to get to a seventh and may have a chance to win a fifth. I would still go Brady. But right now, if you said right now who the best quarterback in the league is, it's Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think a whole lot of GMs in a private meeting, if you talk to them, and head coaches, I don't think many would take anybody but him.
You know, and I know it's a sloppy and very inexact comparison, but is it a little bit like when you compare Marino and Montana in the sense that Marino might be the better pure robo QB, but there's that extra about Joe Montana that really, with the titles and everything, worked in? Is it a little bit like that, or am I way off?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. If Dan would have been on San Francisco's team, he'd be wearing a Super Bowl ring.
Yep.
Would Joe be wearing them if he was in Miami? I don't know. And that's, I mean, Dan was a far more pure passer and better all-around player. Joe was just, you know, Joe was one of those guys that the temperature was 200 degrees in the game. His blood pressure was at about 110 over 60, and his pulse rate was like 45, which most human beings can't think like that. So, yeah, I would say it's fairly similar. The difference is Rodgers has one and Dan doesn't. But, yeah, there's no question in my mind you could make that comparison, and you could put Dan in the best. You could put Dan in the top five of all time, yep, even without a Super Bowl ring. I always get bothered when people say, well, Dan doesn't have a ring. Well, guess what? There's 11 dudes on this in golf. There's 10 other guys that got to play. So, yeah, I would say that's probably pretty fair comparison. But Rodgers now, Brady of all time.
Sean Salisbury joining us this morning on KHDK. Looking forward to this weekend, absolutely. Packers, Falcons, Patriots, Steelers. Who do you got?
Well, for me, while I think Atlanta's dangerous, I said 5 weeks ago that the Green Bay was the most dangerous team in the NFC. Outside the two teams that were, you know, the Patriots and Cowboys at home, but that I thought that that Green Bay was going to the Super Bowl, and I think they are. So I'm going to take Rodgers and Green Bay to go in and be a little bit better. They're going to have their hands full on defense, though. But they did last night and found a way somehow, some way to win a game, even though they were up by 18 and almost gave it away. So I'm going to go Green Bay on that one. And then the other one, my final two teams in the offseason were Pittsburgh and New England. The best quarterbacks and the best offenses. Both defenses are playing well right now, but I picked New England to win it. I don't ever bet against Brady in the postseason, ever. And no matter who wins this game, I'm not betting against Brady in the Super Bowl if he gets in. So I think we're in for this. Is, quite frankly, this is the way it's supposed to be. These are the teams. While I know Dallas is bummed, but we got the four best, I think, right now. And with those offenses, it's going to be fun to watch. Think about those quarterbacks, guys. Mm-hmm. With Brady and Rodgers, Ryan and Roethlisberger, are you kidding? And so nobody tell me that position doesn't matter. The final four quarterbacks can all carry their teams, even if the rest of the guys aren't playing well. So New England, Green Bay in the Super Bowl, and then we'll deal with it. But I think I've already answered who I'd be picking in the Super Bowl because I don't pick against the guy in Foxborough when it comes to postseason.
Sean Salisbury is joining us on KHDK. Sean, the legend of Aaron Rodgers, who just kind of grows year by year, whether it's the relaxed thing of a couple years ago or this year, he's telling people they're going to win the table. And then last night after the game, you hear Randall Cobb saying that last play to Jared Cook, Aaron Rodgers pretty much just drew it up in the dirt. He told the guys what to do. They went out and did it. It wasn't a real play call. Is that something that's a little more common than we think, and we're just attaching a convenient narrative to Aaron Rodgers, or is he really that next level?
No, I don't think it happens very often. I mean, every now and again, you'll break a huddle and you'll tell a guy, hey, listen, you know, when you're breaking a huddle, if you get up there, if they squat on it, then turn it into a fake. You'll tell a guy that. But rarely do you. I remember talking to Johnny Unitas one day back when he was alive, and he'd say, back when I played, we called our own plays, and we did literally. He'd tell Raymond Berry, he'd draw it in the dirt and say, you go up and run it down and out, and I'll hit you when you come out of your break. It doesn't happen very often. Now, there may be a quarterback, and we've all changed the play that a coach has sent in. We trusted a certain play maybe more because we were feeling it at the time. But he's just a different cat, man. And sometimes, you know, when people try to break down every single thing, oh, this was penalty and that was holding. Some guy at times, the other dude's just better than you. And Rodgers is just better. There we go, escaping to his left, making that throw. You can't. That just doesn't happen. And so the drawing it up in the dirt and saying, you know, it's like you do in the street at home. Hey, buddy, you go up to the car, make a left, and stop at the fire hydrant, and I'll hit you. That's what it is. Now, the key is, can you execute it? And number 12 in Green Bay can execute it. So I don't. The narrative is true. It doesn't happen very often, and that's just Aaron Rodgers doing what he does. Quarterbacks have done it. Favre did it in his time, too. I'm sure Brady's done it a handful of times. The good ones do because they get a feel for what they want to do. And then the great ones execute it. We may all like it, but the difference is, I'm not making that play. Aaron Rodgers is, and that's why the Green Bay Packers are moving on. And since he told us they were running the table, he sure as hell wasn't lying.
Last thing for you, Sean, I'm going to pitch you on my dumb idea of the day and let you shoot it down or not. Jason Garrett's probably or very likely going to win Coach of the Year, and if he doesn't, he's going to be right up there. And the Dallas Cowboys, behind two rookies, had a 13-3 year. You know basketball as well as you know baseball and football, and you remember Doug Collins getting tossed after a winning year and Phil Jackson coming in and taking him over the hump. And you know coaches can wear out their welcome and flip the Gatorade table over only once so often. If you're Jerry Jones, do you take a decent look at, let's say, a Gruden, a Cowher, a Dungy, and you bring somebody else in to take these Cowboys to the next level?
Oh, I think you kick the tires, but you got to consider the source of what we're talking about now. Jerry loves Jason Garrett.
Yep.
There's been far other times when he's had a chance to fire him and hasn't. I think it would take Jerry loves Jason as much as he loves Tony. Now, but I understand now, but owners, because the expectations, he had expectations to win a Super Bowl this year and they didn't. So I could understand him doing that. I could, but I don't think it's going to happen. But there isn't anything wrong with calling a Dungy or a Gruden and just inquiring about it. But I'll tell you, if I was going to do it, there's one name that I would call and see, and I'd call the front office and see if they'd take a trade too, is Sean Payton. Remember, he's a name out there that not a lot of people did. Right. They thought the Saints were going to trade him and possibly moving on to Indianapolis or another place or the Rams. But Sean has had a home in South Lake in Texas. He's lived there. I think the intrigue of his offensive play calling makes people want to be a part of that. But I don't think Jason Garrett's going to lose his job. I don't. I just think that Jerry loves him, and he's going to keep his job, and we'll move forward. But I always hate, it's like anything, I want to make my roster better. If you think there's somebody better, why wouldn't you make a call to Gruden if you thought he was better qualified to take care of that job? But there's disappointment there because Jerry expected and thought they were going to win a Super Bowl.
Sean, we're coming to your neck of the woods, even though you got this brand-new spanking Bengland show that you're doing that sounds unbelievable. I hope we're able to pry you away for 10 minutes and come on over and hang out with us on Radio Row.
Count on it, brother. I appreciate all three of you guys always, not only throughout the year, but everything you guys do, and for the nice compliment. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thanks, yeah, have a great week, my man.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, that is Sean Salisbury at 8:25. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo, Cal Expo, Thursday through Sunday, the 19th through the 22nd. At 8:40, you're going to have an opportunity to win a four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam happening the 20th through the 22nd at the Golden One Center. Just listen for the keyword, text it to 44-1140, and you could win. More proof that the NFL is dying between concussions and Roger Goodell and Deflategate and all that. The Packers versus Cowboys. Well, it was the most watched divisional round game in 20 years, 28.2.
So
Chiefs Steelers primetime playoff record, 21.9. My goodness, 3 minutes from now, Ken Rudolph will give us the news of the day. Don't go away on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Here's Bon Jovi.